feel unconditionally loved,
respected.
Safe, respected, mm-hmm. cared for, listened to, validated,
nourished,
don't we?
But every man needs every human being.
Absolutely. So if we start by giving these things to women, if we just start, and those women are going to be respected, loved as the mother of humanity, validated innately, she has the custody of the health of every of one of her children, of the village. It's in her. It's ingrained. Nature has given her that task to absolutely, unconditionally love her children, to want the best for them, to look after them, to know if they're sick, to know what they need. They do this. Animals even do it. You know, there's more respect in the gorilla world for mummy gorilla than there is in our hospitals. So it's massive, really, really massive. It's the subjective, it's what women feel that will translate into her biology, which will affect the next generations. Very easy. So I could go on, there's so much more to say, because as you can see, this is something which is so passionate, and the consequences are so huge, because we've all lived it for ourselves. We can stop it, and we can decide collectively as a human family now to put the mothers in the center of that family and to empower her to get back that instinct that she has to birth her children in safety, in the place that she chooses to have her baby, because she feels well, she feels supported, and that she feels listened to. She is listened to. Often I have to say, you know, mothers are not stupid. Stop treating them as stupid. They know. And I have to say this to couples. It's amazing. They don't get it. Mothers are probably the most intelligent with their babies. We know a brand new baby has more neurons than the baby's pediatrician. Brand new babies are fully aware, fully speaking. We're now having, there's lots of research being done to understand their language, to understand their first cry. It's amazing what's coming out. On this primal period, we say from preconception to the first year after birth, it is the study of the future. There is no doubt in my mind. The implications are colossal. So as I said, we've got a few minutes left. There's a few hands that have gone up for questions. Come to you in a second.
I'd love to know if you're aware of any research on medical interventions for challenging births that come up and how that shapes the child's personality.
So the question is on the research on medical interventions. There are data banks full of this information. Of course, there's also the variables because of the subjective. Mm-hmm. So
like how the mom is feeling, yes, when...
Yes.
Okay.
This is absolutely clear that what we know now, and this is not specific, but this is over many research studies that have been done, mm-hmm. it's that you can have the same intervention and you can have one woman who inside feels that they're doing it for the best, mm-hmm. these people are really here to help me, and she feels that is what is going to have the impact. She feels connected with her mother, with the baby. That is what is going to prime over all the rest. If for some reason or other a woman is in fear and shock, and she loses it because there's nobody around to help her, then that, whatever the intervention is going to be, that is what is going to prime.
And what do you do for a child who had that experience? They're young. How do you help them heal from that? You know that there's a limbic imprint there. So
definitely.
What do you do?
So how do we help babies and children to heal from this? There are many modalities. There are some chiropractors who work with newborns, and I've actually witnessed quite a lot of these healings, which are absolutely fantastic, because babies will naturally actually relive their birth process if they're given the possibility to do so in a safe way. Babies and children are in hypnosis, so using all our hypnotic language and understanding. I've worked with mothers who have regretted, even when the child is grown up, 15, 16-year-olds, regretted what had happened during the birth. And I've suggested that she, you know, goes into that pain that she's carrying because it's shared. It has to be shared. You know, if a child has been hurt, the mother is too. And so if she can go into that pain and then voice out and say, you know, I never wanted to hurt you. You know what it's like if you're in a couple and or with somebody in a close relationship and they accidentally hurt you. And if they just don't say anything, how you feel. But if they turn around to you, no matter how bad the wound is, and say, take you by the hand or call you up and say, you know, I guess that must have hurt, but you know what? I never really wanted to hurt you. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm really sorry. It doesn't necessarily take away the hurt, but it makes it a lot, lot easier. So the first thing is really to say, I'm sorry. Acknowledge babies from the moment of conception. We know they are aware. We know they're having their own experience. Validate that experience. And speak. And then, of course, you have all the hypnotic language that we have and all the protocols and the techniques we have of healing, which are very valid. So there was another question at the back.
Yes, Julia, thank you for this, because I've looked forward to this talk of all the talks. I really did. I thought this was the most important one, and I almost missed it. I had to, when I was reading through everything, and I went, oh, this is something that's important. I'm a perinatal clinical nurse specialist, and I work now in hypnosis. And part of what I'm developing in my practice are very much in line with the things you're doing. And, you know, I just wanted to tell you that I understand and I agree with you, that it comes up frequently in my client work, that clients have experiences in utero that are instrumental to the issues they're challenged with, as you know, all through their life or later.
Absolutely.
That they present in the office with.
Absolutely.
The second thing is, could you give us the name of the gentleman who wrote the report that didn't get attention paid, the UK gentleman? You know his last name?
I think that would be a little bit delicate, but it's not a no.
Oh, okay,
well, no,
sorry,
unfortunately. I think it would be a bit difficult because it hasn't even been acknowledged by the British government. I would like to get a copy of the report.
Yeah,
I've asked him 3 times and he hasn't even replied to my email, so I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's
right. Another question?
Yes. In regards to adoption, you adopted 2 children, and of course you don't know really what went on during the pregnancy and before. And some of them have beautiful experiences and others don't. But by switching, because the child set up for what he came in to have, and then switches to hopefully a loving home. When you're saying you can repair things, my son's 39 and I still feel that there's an issue for the disconnect.
So the question really is about adoption. It's a big one. And how can we repair that early traumatism? Because it is a traumatism, an abandonment, which of course, is, I hope you've just all understood, it goes very, very deep inside our psyche. You know, what kind of conception, what kind of circumstances that baby was carried. So the child is now 39, an adult. And a wonderful father to his children.
Because the good work you did.
Of course, the environment.
The
environment, the loving environment that you have offered him, will have an epigenetic effect.
Yes.
So that is the effect of the environment on the genes, and will have brought out.